Everyone in this community has a story. The Public Library's Listening Project seeks to honor our common ground and our diversity by creating an archive of oral histories. We encourage people to inquire and listen to each other's life experiences and set aside some time for an interview, which will be recorded and saved for posterity at the Public Library. In this excerpt, Arlene Otness tells Roxy Lee about what it was like working as a nurse in the old Petersburg Hospital.
Let's see. There was this steep stairway, and there was an x-ray room, and that was kind of unique because there was a stump coming through the floor, and because the house was settling. So there's this big lump in the x-ray room floor.
I remember that very well. Yeah. I just remember Mina Olson being down there and walking around that
lump.
Raised part of the floor all the time. And I thought, why couldn't that be fixed? But then I was...
Well, then who knew? Oh, upstairs was an attic. And that was part of the night nurse's duty. There was a washing machine downstairs. We had to wash the diapers and then go hang them in the attic to dry. And the next night we had to go collect the baby wash, fold it and put it away and hang up the wet for the next night.
And no elevator.
Oh, no.
No.
How did the patients get up the steps if they were injured?
Crawled.
It's just limped, how it was.
Limped. Were carried.
Crutches.
Anyway, and we had, my God, we had one polio case in town. And everyone was absolutely terrified. And I had worked... You know, it was in the polio
epidemic.
So I'd had lots and lots of experience. I'd spent 3 months in Denver Children's Hospital, and a lot of it was, one whole building was full of polio. So they stuck me with him. And so I was here with this little guy day and night for, at least 2 weeks. And they were so terrified that they had to put him in the attic so he would be away from everyone,
Sure. Which
was just terrible. It was dark and spooky up there, and he was terrified, and he was miserable, and I had to cut up a wool blanket, and I had a mop bucket on a hot plate.
Oh, okay.
Okay, mop bucket with water, a hot plate, and I had a wringer on it, and I'd have to wring these pieces of hot wool through this wringer and then pack him. And polio kids have this funny little cry. They go, oh, nurse. I'll never forget it. It haunted me for years.
Did he make it?
He did. He had a little paralysis, but not bad. Because I really packed him.
What do you mean pack him?
With a hot wool packs.
And changing it all the time.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You bet. My hands were blistered, but... Anyway, we made it.
So that's the treatment that they had. Did they have any other treatment then at that time with the polio?
Not that I knew of.
No.
There was no immunization, and that was the only treatment there was. You had to relax these muscles because they were all tense and taut. Had to try. And, well, we exercised them, too, to keep them from getting contractures.
Yes.
So they wouldn't be crippled.
Just think what a wonderful thing it was when the vaccine came along.
Oh, it was a godsend.
Dr. Salk, I'll never forget it. Never,
those little
never.
Kids were so sick. And in Denver, they had a whole ward full of iron lungs. Mm-hmm. And these poor little kids were in these lungs. And I don't think all of them made it. They didn't make it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it must have been, you didn't have at that time specialists coming through to take care of these special cases, did you?
No, absolutely not. It was just Dr. Smith.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he did the best he could.
Mm-hmm.
Day and night. I remember, like I said, we had a lot of deliveries. And, I was kind of worried because, we had been told, you make sure the doctor gets there in time, and... So I watched this lady, and I watched her, and I thought, no, I better call him, because she was getting along pretty good. And so I called him, and he had to sit. He sat on his stool down at the end of the table for about, 10 minutes, I guess. Then he delivered the baby. Then he called me out in the hall, and he said, Miss Williams, after this, you don't call me until you can tell me if it's going to be a blonde or a brunette.
The Listening Project is waiting for your story. Contact the Public Library to learn more or call Julie Hersey at 772-3967. You can also access the entire interview and others at the Listening Project blog at listeningprojectpsg.wordpress.com.